Hello, everybody, and welcome to the War Room. This one is for the UFC 282 main event for the vacant light heavyweight title. Former champion Jan Błachowicz taking on the scary contender Magomed Ankalaev. So this episode is brought to you by our friends at Rygor. Head over to rygor.co.uk for all of your Mercedes commercial van needs. We've got Mercedes commercial vans in the company. We love them. We drive them all the time. Rygor have looked after us. They've always been great. They're a fantastic company. And if you need a commercial van, you want a Mercedes, and you need to get a hold of Rygor. So check out their website. Okay, quick tale of the tape. So Błachowicz coming in with a record of 29 wins with 9 losses. Magomed Ankalaev with 17 wins on his record and only one defeat. Just that triangle to Paul Craig, which again was a fight that he was winning up until that point. So he could quite easily be an undefeated fighter at this point. And it wouldn't surprise me if he had won that fight as well. It was incredible that Paul Craig was able to clamp on that triangle and get it so tight so quickly. Now, that might give Jan a bit of confidence that if it hits the floor that he might have some ability to cause Ankalaev some problems. Ankalaev's got 9 knockouts on his record out of 17 wins, no submissions, 8 decisions. On Błachowicz's side, though, he's got 9 knockouts and he's got 9 submissions. So he's got 5 rear naked chokes, 3 arm bars and an arm triangle. He is very skilled on the floor. And we have seen him working off his back as well against Gustafsson. We saw him land that beautiful arm triangle on Nikita Krylov as well. It's not like there aren't opportunities for Jan to be able to take this fight to the floor and cause problems there. I think it's going to be more difficult to get the fight to the floor than it is to cause problems once he's there, though. And I don't know whether, we've got to remember that this was a 3-round fight up until recently. I don't know how much he's going to want to invest in a grappling game against someone like Ankalaev, who's coming in with an 86% takedown defense. Because, I mean, you might end up wasting your energy. You might end up taking him down and he scrambles back to his feet and you take him down again and he scrambles back to his feet and then you've exhausted yourself for the round and you've not really achieved anything. With Jan's striking style, I feel like he matches up very well against long-range southpaws, and that's what he's up against here. So Ankalaev likes to stay on the outside, and he likes to play this kind of this ebb-and-flow game, this battle with the space between him and his opponent. If they step into it, he'll edge it away, and he'll try and get them to move back into that space so he can start to strike. If they don't want to, or if he starts to unsettle them, which he does with some of his opponents, they get a bit, like Prakniao is a good example. He gets a little bit anxious and nervous, and Ankalaev was just able to keep him up against the fence the whole time. I don't think he's going to be able to do that against Błachowicz, but the range play between the two is going to be really interesting. Let me show you a couple of bits. So Ankalaev against Anthony Smith. So you'll see what I'm talking about here. So he's just on the outside. He's just drifting back and forward. But you can see how he's never really like overly wildly committing to that space. He kind of waits on the outside and he drifts back and forth, constantly changing his line. So you can see he's like leaning away. He's like trying to get his opponent. He's trying to tempt his opponent to do something. And if ever they do, it's usually a single shot because they don't know whether he's going to level change or counter. So they are anxious. They kind of hang on and wait. And this allows him to start pushing them back a little bit, starts moving up against the fence. And this is where he starts to then throw his strikes because he feels like as long as they're backed up against the fence, he's going to be able to put them on the end of that high kick. His left high kick is one of his best weapons. And often when he starts his striking attack, and Błachowicz is quite similar in this way, he starts his attack with punches and then follows up with a kick. Generally, if they're backed up against the fence, of course, he's got the opportunity to clinch them and take them down. He doesn't wrestle a great deal, but, you know, as we saw, was it Dolce Lungian Bulla? He took him down against the fence. He's very good at just economically taking people down. Pins their wrist to their hip, clinches their legs and sucks their legs out and takes them down. No big over-the-top takedowns, no wasted energy. Ultimately, he wants to be on the feet, but if he does feel like he needs to put his hands on someone, he needs to do it up against the fence, that's where he's going to have the best control. Now, against Anthony Smith, this was a lovely combination here where he kind of teases with his lead hand as Anthony Smith dips underneath, but pushes him back with the straight left and then puts the kick on the end. Now, that's the danger in this fight is because the times when I see Jan look vulnerable, and it's not very often, to be honest, but he does tend to backtrack He was doing it against Adesanya, and he didn't pay for it against Adesanya, but there are moments where I kind of feel to myself, he needs to cut an angle, he needs to change his line. And someone like Ankalaev, if he sees he's going to run straight backwards, he's going to start angling to work him onto that kick. Something that Jan's got to be wary of, because he's so good at snapping that kick up into the face. And this is, you know, it's a consistent part of his game, this as well. Look at the Prakniao fight. This is actually a slip from a right hand. And when I watched this live and when I watched the replay back, it's easy to miss a couple of things here. Oh, my pencil's disconnected. It's easy to miss a couple of things in this knockdown because it all happens so quickly. So what you're going to see is Prakniao, he's going to fire this right hand. He's going to go straight towards the face of Ankalaev. Ankalaev's going to slip to the side and he's going to catch him with a check right hook. Now, that's the bit that's really easy to miss. There it is, look. You can see Prakniao's head turned from the check hook. And that's a statement on efficiency right there because they're both going to throw at the same time. Ankalaev drops his hand and then circles the power onto the chin. Prakniao drops his hand and then brings it all the way around the side. It's such a wide shot that Ankalaev drops down and then bumps out to the side. And when I first saw it, I actually just thought that he'd overthrown and lost his balance. But when you watch the replay and you see that check right hook in the way, and then the footwork that Ankalaev uses to get out of the way, similar to that the beautiful step that Leon uses against Gunnar, where he kind of jogs his feet out to the side to create some space. Like, watch Ankalaev's feet here. Look at that lovely little reset that he does with his feet. His opponent stepping in with a powerful right hand, check right hook, ducks underneath the punch, resets his feet. And then, of course, Prakniao is already hurt and he's already on his way. A couple of uppercuts, chases him down, and then there goes the head kick again. And, you know, lands on the guard just like it did against Anthony Smith, but at this point, his hand is so braced onto his head that when he takes the kick, the power goes straight through his arm. There's not much he could have done about this knockdown, to be honest. It was just beautifully timed. And because he was caught with that check right hook in the process, it's so slick. You'll see it from the top angle and the check hook's even clearer. Here we go. So you can see Prakniao steps big with that lead foot to wing a massive right hand. And look how efficient that check is just there. I mean, it's exactly how you'd want a counter punch to be thrown. Pop and dip out the way. And then you'll see the footwork here as well. Slip and dip out the way. Reset with the feet. A couple of uppercuts. And then there he is with the left head kick again. And one other finish, the Dolce Lunghi-Ambula one. So this is if his opponent isn't playing the range game the way that he wants to. Because, well, first of all, Dolce was exhausted in this fight. I mean, he was exhausted from the, I don't know, pretty early on. Because he's such a heavily muscled guy. He's used to knocking people out. I'm pretty sure it was his UFC debut. I'm sure it was his UFC debut. And he was just, every time he was hitting that nitrous button, he was just, he was trying to throw everything into everything. And Ankalaev just kind of played that ebb and flow game and let him get all of those bursts out of his system to the point where Dolce was like up against the fence, exhausted. Now this was, what was this, third round, I think it was. Beautiful. And you can see him, he's moving away. He steps and he sets his back foot. You can just see it with his hip. Steps and sets his back foot. And as his front foot lands, he goes. Beautiful knockout. Here we go, here's the other angle. Such a nice kick. So, I mean, look at that. So, if I'm Magomed Ankalaev... I'm not going to be engaging with Jan straight away. I'm not going to be engaging with Jan a great deal, to be honest, especially not in the first couple of rounds, because, again, This has gone from a three-round fight to a five-round fight. This is Magomed Ankalaev's first time fighting for the world title. Jan Błachowicz has been here before. We know he's got five rounds in the tank. We know he's durable over five rounds and he can carry his power. If I'm Ankalaev, I'm gonna try and use that first round especially to kind of feel him out, because I'm expecting Jan to try and push through into my boxing range from kicking range. Because Jan, like he did against Adesanya, he doesn't like to hang out on the outside for too long and just be there kind of being peppered, because ultimately to get the fight won, he needs to get his power into his opponents. He needs to land hooks and kicks. And he always does better in that Muay Thai range, where he is a little bit square, which is why I've shown you this, because I feel like this might be a risk for Jan. But he's very good at kind of marching his way into range with his weight on his back foot, so he can keep picking that lead leg up to check and then pressuring through kicks with his defense. Sometimes he'll give ground and he'll move away, but other times he'll push through and he'll put his opponent on the back foot when they're throwing their kicks. And of course, if Ankalaev's going to want to play this kicking game, Jan's got to work his way through it. Because the stance difference, Ankalaev's got he's got more of an advantage of landing these longer range techniques than Jan does. Jan, because he stands in quite a short Muay Thai stance, he's going to have to make up that distance with footwork, which is a challenge if you've got someone that doesn't want to stand within your striking range. If I'm Ankalaev, I'm gonna disengage all wrestling as well, because I just don't know if it's worth him engaging too much in that. I mean, clinching Jan up against the fence might be a smart thing to do, but then you've got to deal with Jan on the exit, which we know he's very powerful with his hooks on the exit. And I also think Jan is a very skilled practitioner on the floor. Five rear naked chokes, three arm bars, and an arm triangle against Nikita Krylov. Compared to the one loss on Ankalaev's record, no submissions on Ankalaev's record as well. Okay, let me show you what I'm talking about with Jan. Because against Adesanya, of course, he was up against a rangy southpaw who likes to fight on the outside, who didn't really want to be engaging with him at close range. So Jan had to do the work to close him down, to also defensively stay safe. And what we saw from Jan was good defensive work. Like, he does dip and bring himself out of the way. He's quite reactive to stuff. But, he got hit with 30, 40 kicks against Adesanya, I think it was. And not none of them really got through and did any damage. He was able to stay covered and then start to slip and counter. And this combination at this point now, he's now engaged Adesanya in a boxing range because he'd already started to shut down his kicking. So Adesanya is now stepping in to throw a jab. This is where Jan starts to engage, because if Jan's on the back foot, Ankalaev is going to feel like he's just outside of range all the time, and he's going to be waiting for him to do something to overcommit for Jan to be able to counter. If Jan's confident enough to walk into Ankalaev's range and cover and push him back against the fence, then he can force him to disregard some of his kicks and switch over to punches. In which case, Jan can then start to stitch his own punches into these counters and then finish with kicks. Because just like Magomed Ankalaev likes to finish with kicks, Jan does too. But the difference is Jan tends to go to the body and he does a lot of damage with these body kicks. And it's amazing how consistent he is as well with the targeting of them. So watch this. This is the combination I'm talking about. We're going to dip into the Dominic Reyes fight in a minute. So you're going to see Adesanya fire this jab. Jan's going to dip off to the side and he goes to counter with a hook, which kind of glances off the arm. But then he comes over with the right hand and then the kick. And that body kick there, aiming to that spot on the ribs, is exactly what he did against Dom Reyes and did all that damage. Same kind of situation. He's stepping through with punches. Right hand, left hook, right hand, body kick. It's very simple striking, but it's very effective because he knows how to apply it and when to commit to the right shots. Like, he gets a bit stifled by that lead leg here. You can see Dom Reyes just manages to get a toe into his midsection to slow him down. So we go right hand, left hook, and they both kind of fall. He kind of catches that left hook a bit, doesn't he? He just kind of catches him on the top of his head and knocks him off balance. See, something else that's worth noting about Jan's left hook as well is he lands it in so many different ways. I mean, that's pretty much a straight arm, landing almost like with the inside of his glove. His left hook, the one that he knocks Dominic Reyes out with, and the one that he drops Rockhold with, you'll see how different they all are. It's a very adaptable punch for him. And against the southpaw, when he's working over that lead shoulder, and when Ankalaev is quite disengaging sometimes, a good counter left hook would be really useful for him, especially if he's setting up his kicks off it. Now, right hand, left hook. But then he throws the right hand here and follows it with his rear foot. Do you see that? So the right hand goes out, and instead of this right hand then coming back along this same path, it stays out and this back foot moves up instead. What that allows him to do is he's stepping through with a power left kick, because I think Jan's a little bit like me. He's orthodox, but he's left-footed, right-handed left-footed, which is probably why his left hook's a decent weapon, because he's driving off his left leg while he's doing it. He's able to put power into that punch because he's driving off his favourable leg, just like he was if he was box jumping or whatever. That would be the leg that he would be taking off on. So this works really well for him, and this one lands, and you can see a bit of redness already on the ribs. But it's the consistency of the targeting of the same shot. Same with a calf kick or a low kick or whatever. If you can kick a leg over and over again, but if you keep kicking it on different points, you're not necessarily going to accumulate the same kind of damage. If you're able to land the same shot in the same place over and over again, it's very, very easy to quickly accumulate damage and to make a difference in the fight. And it's the same situation, the same setup again. The right hand and then the kick. Because it allows him to step through with that back foot. Look, you can see it again. Right hand, back foot comes through. So now he's southpaw. And it also allows him to cover some distance. I mean, and look at that. You can see where he's going to kick because the bruiser's already there. And nails him right in the same spot. Really nice basic Muay Thai. So here's the first one we just saw. Look at the targeting on that rib. And then here's the second one. I mean, you can even see the indentation in his lat as the kick bounces away. That's really going to take it out of you, especially over five rounds. And if you're fighting Magomed Ankalaev, you know, you saw him get subbed by Paul Craig, but you also saw him winning the majority of that fight up until that point. What you don't expect to be able to do is just to blast him out of the water with any one thing. Someone like Ankalaev, he's quite clearly a well-rounded fighter. He can wrestle, he can strike, he can grapple. He's also clearly got a game plan that works very well for him, staying on the outside and forcing people to deal with his kicks. So if I'm Jan, I'm gonna kind of edge my way into this fight, just like I am if I'm Ankalaev. I'm not going to jump in at the deep end and try and get Jan out of there super quick, because he's the champion, because he's been five rounds. He was the champion, sorry. Been five rounds before. This is new territory for Ankalaev. It's not so much for Jan. And that wisdom, I think, is going to come into play as well, because I think Jan's going to be able to slowly chip away at Ankalaev and wear him down and make him feel the five rounds, you know, work his legs, work his body, and take the space away from him. So he's maybe not dictating the pace like he would against some of his other opponents. This combination here that Jan uses is really nice. And if he does start to push Ankalaev back, look at that. If he does start to push Ankalaev back and take his kicking away, then lunging through with punches to get him to move away and skirt along the fence so he can work that kick would be really useful. And we've seen him do it against Izzy, who's a tall, rangy southpaw. We've seen him do it against Dominic Reyes, who's a tall, rangy southpaw. The left hook as well, like I was talking about. And this is where we talk about the adaptability of this left hook. Because that's almost like a straight punch. And it looks like a straight punch fired from a southpaw position, if I'm honest. But his legs are the opposite way around. I mean, it is a left hand, but it comes quite straight into the side of the head. I mean, it's that Polish power. He knows that if he connects, that he's going to be able to hurt someone. He needs to look how tight and close range that is. I mean, he's got some power in his hands, my goodness. It's a beautiful punch. Like this is why he's got to close range down, because his kicks go better on the ends of his punches, and his punches are damaging enough to do a lot of damage with one shot. Now, that's another reason why I don't expect Ankalaev to be wanting to clinch him too much, because Ankalaev does like to clinch against the fence, and Jan is physically very strong. So I feel like if Ankalaev can't take Jan down, or he's spending too much energy trying to take him down, and Jan's able to get off the fence, this left hook comes into play again. Because it's like a heat-seeking missile, and it's very, very accurate. Goes for a body lock. You can see Rockhold tries to whizzer. And then you see Jan limp arm out, bail out. Throws kind of a weird right hand again. Like postures his shoulders for the left hook, and then there's the left hook. He often does that. It's like a pouring left, pouring right hand. We saw it against Reyes here as well. See what I mean? It almost like it loads the shoulder forward so he can come back with the hook. It's a really interesting striking style that Jan's got, because there are some very traditional Thai boxing elements to it, but then there are things that they don't seem to really fit into any traditional striking style. He's developed this style of striking which suits his body type. It suits his body type. It suits the power that he carries in that left hand. And it also suits that physiological... I might be wrong. Right-handed, left-footed. It creates a kind of an odd problem for a martial artist to solve. And I've trained fighters that are opposite hand and legged as well. left-handed and right-footed. I've trained a couple of fighters that are like that. And it's different, because if you're right-handed, right-footed, like a lot of people are, or left-handed, left-footed, like a decent amount of people are, you kind of know your power side. It's far clearer. Like if I'm an orthodox fighter and I'm right-handed and right-footed, all my power comes from the same side. And it's not like I don't have a decently powerful kick on my right leg if I am left-footed, because it's still my back leg. I can still generate power into it. But it's not the same. It doesn't feel the same. As you know, if you go to kick a football with the foot that you don't normally kick it with, it feels awkward. It feels like you're either going to miss it slightly, or you're not going to have full control over the contact with the target. To be able to have a power foot on your lead leg, and to be able to move that lead leg up to the target, whether it's the leg or the body or the head, so quickly, means that you're going to have more power than you would if it wasn't your favourable side. I know I've gone off on a bit of a tangent there, but I feel like there's a real benefit in Jan being drawn up against orthodox fighters. He doesn't seem as confident, and I think it's because of the way that his skill set works together. I think he knows that he's got decent power in his right hand, so he's quite happy to throw that with power, but then he's also happy to follow that up with his right leg, so he can switch to a southpaw stance, which means he can throw his left leg as a rear power kick. What haven't I said? Have I gone through the stats, Jamie? Did I forget the stats? I think I forgot stats, didn't I? I did tailor the tape. Let me do them again. 29 wins and 9 losses on Jan's record. 17 wins and 1 loss on Magomed's record. 9 knockouts, no submissions on Ankalaev's record. 9 knockouts, 9 submissions on Jan's record. 5 rear naked chokes, 3 arm bars, and an arm triangle. 86% takedown defense for Magomed Ankalaev, though, which... it just doesn't put Jan in good stead to get this fight to the floor unless he does what he did with Adesanya, where he plays a couple of rounds, making it look like he's not going to wrestle, and then quickly switches up his tact. But then that would be more useful if he got someone that was being more aggressive, and I don't think he's going to get that from Ankalaev. I think even if Ankalaev feels like he's losing this striking match, he's going to stay disciplined enough and stay persistent with his game plan. There's not going to be a recklessness to Ankalaev's game that I think would make this easier for Jan. This is why chipping away at him, taking small nibbles out of him as the fight goes, and breaking him down would be the smart thing to do. For Ankalaev, it's about keeping distance from Jan. You know, keep him on the end of your long-range strike so you can start setting him up for that front kick, or use your strikes to set him up for that high kick. But again, with Jan's back up against the fence, it's going to be easier to land, because you can then force him towards that left leg with your punches and with the back up, with his back up against the fence. I I think that's about it. I think I've said everything I need to say here. I mean, it's a really interesting fight. I kind of feel sad for Glover. I don't exactly know the details around it, whether he was offered an opportunity to fight for the belt or whether it just kind of went straight on to Błachowicz and Kalayev or what. But I hope Yuri's all right. I hope we get him back in action very soon, and I hope Glover gets a good opportunity in his next fight because, yeah. This is an interesting one, but I still feel like Glover is problematic for both of these guys. But we'll see. All right, enjoy the fights, and I'll see you next time.